I'd like to say, as always, that I'm glad to be here tonight. I count it a wonderful privilege every time I come in under the tent or any time that I enter into God's presence with His people. And truly being here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, it's a real privilege to be here. We had a wonderful audience last night. The audience was wonderful. I see quite a turnover in the audience tonight. A lot of different faces, but that's the way it is in revival. You have a continual turnover, and that's good, because the more changes of faces we have, the more people we reach. And then a lot of times toward the weekend, we kind of collect them up together, and God blesses us. We're looking for a great meeting here in Jeffersonville. You can help us make it possible by praying with us, by seeking God, and by calling upon the name of the Lord. You know, whatever we ask in His name, He promised to give it to us. And I believe that He meant exactly what He said. So we're calling on the name of the Lord, expecting Him to do something special for us. It might be just a little bit uncomfortable tonight. Might be just a little bit chilly in here. We've had a battle with we've had a battle with so many things since we've been here. We've had a battle with one thing, the mosquitoes. But the cold weather has kind of pushed them aside. The weather turning off cool, but they're going to get a heater or two and make sure that everything is nice and comfortable to where it will be warm under the tent should it get just a little bit cool. And if you'll just bear with us a little bit, if it's a little uncomfortable tonight, we'd certainly appreciate it. You know, the devil isn't going to work with the saints of God any at all, isn't that right? You probably would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think the devil has anything to do with the weather. Well, the first thing I learned is that you're not a very good Bible scholar. Satan certainly is the prince, and he's the prince over the powers of the air. And he's the one that causes all the turbulence and all the problems. And he'll do anything in the world to work contrary to Christ Jesus and the kingdom of God. If he has to send a storm, or he has to send a problem, or if he has to do anything. But you know what? We can have faith in God and believe God, and God can change the situation. Did you know that? God can change the situation. All right. I wonder if you'll just remain standing with me for just a moment. I usually just let the audience sit down, but I wonder tonight if you just remain standing with me and let me read the Word of God. It'll only take a minute, and then you can be seated. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the book of St. Luke. The book of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at the first verse. It says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to notice, after the Lord spoke here and appointed the 70, we find in the 17th verse the testimony of the 70. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now I'm going to say some things tonight. Leave my Bible right there, please, brother. You can be seated. I want to say again that we appreciate every one of you. We had a lovely audience last night. They listened very good. They were very attentive. The Spirit of the Lord came and God blessed us. And, the Lord was just good to us. He was just kind to us last night. And the audience worked with us real good. And I believe that God healed some people here last night. We appreciate the different ministers that have come out from other churches. There were some ministers here last night and some People of reputation that I was not acquainted with. I learned afterwards, after the service that is, that they were here in the tent. I'm sorry that I did not know. Had I known, I would have been glad to have recognized them in our services. I'm sure that they'll come back because some of them made mention that they enjoyed the service and talked as though they would return and also bring their people or use their influence to bring their people out to the service. I see now we have a brother here from Marysville, Tennessee. We're so glad to have our brother Merritt and Sister Merritt here from Marysville, Tennessee. We're thankful to have them here with us. I really appreciate these people coming over from Marysville. And I was just looking around. I heard that our brother Pruitt from Athens, Georgia was here. Haven't seen Brother Pruitt yet, but I'm sure he must be in the audience somewhere or outside. Someone said he's here. Maybe he's a little late getting to the tent tonight. But we have people that come to these tent meetings from different places all around the nation. And we appreciate them coming to be with us. And we certainly appreciate the people of Jeffersonville coming out to be with us. And also the people of Monroe that come to be with us. Appreciate the people from out of Louisville, Kentucky that come to be with us. And also we appreciate Brother Parnell that just brought some chairs from Kentucky. He brought us some more chairs and he went all the way over to Kentucky to his place there. He's a tent minister and a man of renown. And he brought some chairs to put under this tent to help us out here. We may have to rent some chairs before the meeting is over. And if so, then we'll do it. But so far, the Lord has provided chairs for us. And we're looking forward to a wonderful meeting. And we certainly appreciate the ministers being here. And anytime we have ministers in the audience, they're certainly welcome on the platform. We'd love to have them come up and sit on the platform because ministers, the Bible speaks of giving honor unto all people, you know, that is, that are Christians, give honor, but give double honor to them that labor in the Lord. And the Bible teaches that we are to esteem them worthy of double honor. You know, people that labor in the Lord, you're supposed to esteem them worthy of double honor. You should honor the brotherhood. But when you meet one that labors in the Lord, the Bible said that they should receive a double honor. And so then, even though it is a fact that in the day that we're living in, people really don't honor them like they ought to, yet they should honor them with double honor because they are God's ministers and they should be received with double honor and respect because they're holding your future in their hands. You know, a lot of times we think of Washington and we think of the dignitaries of Washington and the celebrities as holding our future in their hand. And that is true to a certain degree they are. But I want you to know tonight that the ministers are holding your future in their hand. Did you know they have the power to bless you? Or they have the power to curse you? They have the power to bless or they have the power to curse. They have the power to remit your sins, or they have the power to retain your sins. Most people, even as a Christian, don't realize that and don't know that. There's people that's been to church all of their lives, and they don't know that the minister has the power to remit or to retain their sins. But nevertheless, he does. And he has the power to bring a blessing upon you. Therefore, you should never grieve him. The Bible said it's not profitable for you to even grieve him. You should never do anything to grieve the minister because that's unprofitable for you. Whereas if you do the things that please God, then the minister can smile upon you in his spirit and it brings the blessings of God upon you. Not only the prosperity of this life and the health of this life, but he can be so instrumental in bringing you the extensive life, which is eternal life beyond the veil. So then tonight, we're thankful to have you here and we want to offer double honor to them that labor in the Lord. Those that be of reputation, Paul said, I conferred with them privately, lest I run in vain. A lot of times we talk to ministers privately because they are of reputation. And sometimes there are differences and disagreements. And rather than having an open dispute, smiting the shepherd to scatter the sheep, We have private confrontations, and a lot of times we gain our brother or grow stronger in a unified effort in the spreading of the gospel of our great God and in the spreading and establishment of the kingdom of God in the earth. Now then, I'd like to speak to you just a few minutes tonight. Last night, when I came to speak, you know, it seems like it's always this way, that when you come to speak, it seems like there is always a binding over the congregation. They don't seem to be moving in the Spirit, and they don't seem to be stirred up, and the man of God has to keep working until he can get their hearts loose and get them worked up in the Spirit. And when it's a little bit cool, like it is tonight, we have a tendency to kind of draw up, and that really hinders the service, you know, or anything like that that affects our human person. Then it affects the spirit, because when we tighten up in our human person and we're not free and relaxed in our human person, then it hinders the moving of the spirit, because the only way that the spirit can move is through our human person. That's the only way that God can put himself on display before the people is through your human person. Therefore, when something happens to the human person, then it presses or suppresses the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible said, quench not the Spirit. And the devil will do anything. He will do anything to cause people to draw back in the Spirit, or cause people to be in a condition to where they can't release their spirits to God, to keep them from enjoying the wonderful things of God. Isn't that right? You know, I say this so often because I love to make comparison to stir people up. People go out to a ball game. It doesn't matter if it's freezing cold. They'll take a little coffee. They'll wrap themselves up in a blanket, and they'll watch ball players wallow in a mud hole or do anything else, and they'll shout and holler, even if the icicles is around and they have to break them off. Isn't that right? And we need to come to the place, children of God, to where we have enough godliness in us to press forward over every power of opposition, to where we have the love of God in such a way that we're going to worship God. It doesn't matter what the weather conditions are. God wants us to worship him. How do you believe God wants us to worship him? I like that. You know, just a little moving around and you get warm. It won't take me long to get out of this coat. You know, when I start preaching, I get all heated up, and I have to get out of the coat in a little while anyway. But I want you to notice this now. Jesus chose 70 and commissioned these 70 to do a work. And I want to preach to you tonight the blessings of God and the strength of God, and show you the things that God has accredited to you through Christ. But at the same time, I want to give you a warning tonight and show you how dangerous it is to violate the principles of God and be careless in your Christian experience. Jesus chose 70. And when he chose these 70, the Bible said that he sent these 70 forth to do a work. Is that right? He sent them forth to do a work. Now, stop just a minute here. This may be an emergency or something. Well, this is Brother Ed Bowles is here tonight with his wife from the TFJ Club. We was on his program not too long ago. I don't see him out there. Oh, here he is back here, almost hid. Certainly glad to have Brother Bowles here with us. We was on his program not too long ago over here at Florence. And we had an interview there with Brother Bowles on the TFJ Club. And we certainly appreciate the attitude that he had toward us and toward our meeting here in Jeff, because he certainly showed us real courtesy and certainly gave our meeting a boost there from his program. And God bless you, brother, for being so kind to us. We certainly appreciate him being here. He's got the TFJ Club and got a number of programs or television programs or stations around different places. And we're certainly glad to have him here tonight. I guess David probably made mention that we've had probably three or four different television stations that's come out and covered this setting here, and the newspapers have come out and covered it. A lot of times where we go, we have newspapers to come out, and even in our own at our own campground over here in Monroe, where we went in there, established the work. We've had the 11 Alive to come out and do a story on us in the biggest paper there in Atlanta, Georgia, to give us front page write-ups, because it moved them so much in what we was doing that they couldn't stay away. They had to come and get a story. And, of course, they've done the same thing here in Jeffersonville. And that's good, because if they come in the way that they have done, it's been a blessing to us. They've not been critical. They put it on TV, and they've not been critical. They put it in the paper. And as far as I know, they're not going to be critical in the paper. Sometimes you get a critical write-up. You know, newsmen, sometimes they like to get a little critical, but we've had numbers and numbers of write-ups in different newspapers and the college papers and different things, and some was a little critical, some was good. But nevertheless, Jesus' critics helped to spread the gospel to that extent. Isn't that right? They still helped to spread the gospel to that extent. So then these people that have come out here, numbers of them, has treated us real well. They put it on TV all across the countryside. So then we're glad to be here tonight, glad to have our brother here and the others that are here of reputation tonight, and also the brotherhood and the sisters that have come here that love Jesus. And I want to say again now, I want to bring to your mind and your understanding the danger of just relaxing. You know, the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And when I say relaxing, I mean in the spirit. You can just relax in the spirit and not be diligent in the things of God and just get to the place to where you're neither hot nor cold in life, and you'll get in trouble. Did you know that? God wants you to be cold and get out with the world and do the things of the world, or God wants you to be hot, fervent in the spirit and get with Him in the spirit and do something for God. He doesn't want you to be in between. There's nothing that's worse than for somebody to serve you a cup of lukewarm, whatever it would be. Isn't that right? You want to be hot, burning with the fervency of God, and get in the move of God and do something for God and rise up for God and shine like a light in this age and be the light of the world? Brother, or you want to get out of this thing and get out there in the world and enjoy sin for a season? You must get out and enjoy sin for a season. How many of you know that you can enjoy sin for a season? The Bible said Moses, rather than enjoy sin for a season, chose to suffer the afflictions of the righteous following God. Is that right? If you're going to follow God, you're going to suffer persecution. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But did you know the church of today don't want to suffer persecution? And did you know that the church of today don't believe that there's any persecution attached to serving God? And if there's any persecution that comes along, they feel like you're out of the will of God? But did you know the name of Christ Jesus is never magnified until you get under persecution? Until the world turns the guns on you, did you know that Christ is never magnified? Did you know it wasn't until the city turned the guns on us here that Christ was magnified here? It was when they came against us that Christ magnified His name here and put it over all the news meters. Did you know it was when they took Daniel and put Daniel in the lion's den that Christ magnified His name in that day? Did you know it was when the Hebrew children were placed in the fire that God magnified His name in that day? Did you know that it's when your faith is put to the test that God has a chance to magnify His name? My brother, when cancer comes, when TB comes, when heart conditions come, when problems comes, when poverty comes, when opposition comes, God is trying to magnify Himself. God is trying to cause you to rise up and overpower Satan and overcome your powers of opposition. He is trying to build faith in your heart to where you will rise up and show the world your God. When the Hebrew children stood before the king and said, "Our God is able to deliver us," we want you to know that that's our faith and confidence in our God. And we want you to know that if He doesn't deliver us, we're going to believe Him anyway. Now, when we take that kind of attitude, God's going to stand on our side. Do you believe that? Brother, what we need to do is have faith in God. They stood for God, and they overcame the burning flames of the fire furnace. And it wasn't long before they were men of renown. It wasn't long before the old king changed the order of the kingdom. And they had a new doctrine around there. Did you know that when you overcome and the world sees your light, that they'll change their way of believing? And they'll instigate a new doctrine because they'll say that Christ is in your heart. They'll say that God is with you. Did you know when the powers of opposition rises up against you, the first thing that people will say, and it's sad to think this, but even the church will do it. They'll say, well, if he was in the will of God, he wouldn't have so much problem. Did you know when we come here to Jeff, somebody made the statement, said, well, if God sent him here, why is it he didn't get to set up the tent? They didn't think we was going to set it up. Why is it that the city stopped him? I wonder what they think about it tonight. I wonder what they think about it tonight. They made the statement that if God had been with him to set that tent up, they'd had a meeting. I wonder what they think about it tonight. You know what it is? It's a bunch of unbelieving skeptics. That's what it is. God has never done anything that the devil didn't oppose him in. Paul said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. Isn't that right? Don't you know there's a devil in this world? Did you know the Bible said Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air? Now I might say some things tonight that you might draw back on, but I hope you'll hold on for just a minute. Think the thing out. Let me say this. I got to get out of this coat first of all. Let me say this. The Lord gave me a vision last night. I was praying. The Lord showed me in the vision that here in Jeffersonville, he's got a lot of babies. I saw the babies in diapers. And I don't mean this wrong toward anybody, because I know there must be people here that are growing up in God. But he showed me he had a lot of little babies, precious babies. And he didn't want me to hurt them. And he showed me that I had to be careful how I dealt with them. Because they were just little bitty babies, just little bitty babies that were still on the bottle. And I said, oh my God, Lord, don't let me hurt none of them. Don't let me do nothing wrong. Don't let me tell them anything too strong for them. Let me work with them. Let me do everything I can because I want to help them. And folks, that's what I want to do tonight. But I hope you that are grown up, I hope you'll listen. The Bible said the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But ye that are babes in Christ, the Bible said desire the sincere milk of the word. Praise God, you always have spectators to come out just to see, just to criticize, to get up and walk out. Always do in every meeting. Praise God. They don't like for me to say that, but I don't like for them to come in to spot my liberties and walk out either. A lot of people think they're so important they can come in and just walk out any time to get ready. But I'll tell you one thing, God's going to burn some people's fields for things like that. Brother, this is the hour of Christ. This is the hour of God. This is the moving of the Spirit. And people isn't just going to do any way in this world and get by with it. You're not going to spun the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not just going to walk out on God when God's trying to explain something and God's trying to tell you something just because you feel you're important or because you feel you're some great Bible scholar, you know some great something that somebody else doesn't know, or because you feel like you've got more money than somebody else. Brother, it's time that we sit and listen. It's time that we paid attention. People feel a little bit insulted when I say something about the babes. My hand be raised to heaven. God gave me the vision last night and showed me those things. It's the truth, so help me God. So then the dispute is with God. It's not with Brother Pike. The argument's with God. It's not with Brother Pike. God's got babes everywhere, not just here in Jeffersonville. But I want you to know something tonight, beloved friend. There is a danger of complacence. There is a danger of getting lukewarm. There is a danger of getting overconfident. There is a danger of coming to the place to where you feel that you're all right when you're not all right. There is a danger of being lost after you've done something for God. The Bible said God chose these 70. Jesus said, I want you 70 to go with me. And the Bible said they cast out devils. They had power over the unclean spirits. They worked these miracles and they'd done everything that Christ Jesus did. The Bible said that they did it.
But I want you to know, when it come down to the revelation of Christ Jesus and it come down to the word, they walked off and left the Lord Jesus standing by himself. You say, well, Brother Pike, they never did have anything to begin with. Why did Jesus tell that 70? He said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you. Brother, the spirits was subject unto him, or he wouldn't have said that. He said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. You say, Brother Pike, then if they walked out on him, how could their names have been written down in the Lamb's book of life? I believe Jesus was trying to tell him something. I believe Jesus was trying to tell him, you men have cast out devils and you've done a lot of great things, but you better make sure that your names is on the Lamb's book of life. You're rejoicing over this thing that you've done and this great ministry you've had. But I'll tell you something, you better straighten up. You better walk right. You better get your heart right with God and stay right with God. Because there's a danger after you've done all of these things, you can still be lost. And there's people that belong to churches here tonight. There's people that's going to church every day. There's people that's paying their tithes. There's people that belong to denominations. There's people that's been church members and scholars for years. But you're going to be lost. You say, but Brother Pike, I've got power with God. These men had power with God too. The spirits were subject unto them. And the Bible said they went their way preaching, and Jesus chose the 70. But I want you to know that they left Jesus. They walked off and left Jesus. Did you know a lot of great 10 evangelists today is walking off and leaving Jesus? Did you know when it comes down to the real preaching of the gospel and the real living of the gospel? Did you know a lot of great men today are backing off and leaving Jesus? And did you know that they're compromising with the world and doing every ungodly thing there is in the world today? And did you know the devils and demons are binding them hand and feet? After they've done all these great things, Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, what are you going to do? They said, Lord, you're the only ones that's got the words of eternal life. We're going to stay with you. We're going to stay with you. Isn't that the right way to do it? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Brother, you turn to the word. Say, God, we'll stay with the word. We'll stay with the word. They said, we're going to stay with the word. You're the word. You're the word of life. We're going to stay with the word. That's what we need to do. It doesn't matter what the doctrines are. It doesn't matter what the disciplines are. It doesn't matter what somebody says. It doesn't matter how the world might glitter. We need to stay with God's word. That's what we need to do. You love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God here tonight. Now, I don't feel the freedom tonight that I felt last night. My audience is not as free as it was last night. I could feel the Holy Ghost just falling last night. And I feel some of you with a reservation of heart. I love you tonight and I want to help you. And God wants to do something for you. God's here tonight. How do you believe God's here tonight? I want to help you tonight. I want to lead you tonight. I want to guide you tonight. I'm going to tell you things of God tonight. Things that will thrill your heart tonight. I want to lift you up and elevate you in the Spirit tonight. But brother, you've got to yield to the Spirit. You can't quench the Spirit. There's a man sitting middle ways of this audience right here. The man is bitter. He's bitter sitting right here middle ways of this audience, a young man. He's bitter. He needs God to do something for him. If he turned loose, God would do something for him. But he's bitter. He's got a spirit of resentment. He's resenting me while I preach. But yet he's sitting in my audience. What is it? The man's bound with a spirit. You say, how do you know that? He wouldn't be here if there wasn't some good about him. There has to be some good about him or he wouldn't be here. Then why does he sit in an audience and resent the word of God? It's because the spirit's got a hold of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is still on the main line tonight. The Bible said 70 of them cast out the unclean spirits. And did you know the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? That God gives you power over the unclean spirits? Did you know that God has given you power over the unclean spirits tonight? I want you to get a hold to this Christian friend tonight. Do you realize as a Christian tonight, you've got power over the unclean spirits? You know, there's a lot of people, I meet them everywhere. I'm talking about Christian people that are so afraid, they're scared. They stay afraid all the time. They're afraid that devils is just going to overrun them. And devils is going to take control of them. And I think, how can they do that when they've got power over the unclean spirits? You know what's happened to them? They've made their faith shipwreck. They've not gone on with God. They've not lived an overcoming life. They've played around with the world. And they've got their faith down at a low ebb, and the devil's closed in on them. The darkness has come in on them. And it's got them all tore up, children of God. It's got them tore all to pieces, and they can't rise up in faith and master the situation. But you got power tonight over the unclean spirits. Hallelujah. You got power over the devil tonight. He said, I give you power over the unclean spirits. Over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Did you know that's power over sickness too? Did you know sickness is the power of the enemy? Now listen. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Did you know that the devil is the one that causes the storms? Did you know the devil is the one that causes the lightning? Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Just hear me through and then you can say what you want to. But a fellow ought to at least have a chance to say what he's going to say before you rise up in your mind and condemn him. You know, some people never learn anything except what they know or what they think because they never listen to anybody else. They never give them time to say anything else. They judge them in their minds. That's a foolish person to do that. You know that. Somebody say amen. Solomon said it takes a foolish man to answer a matter before he ever hears it. And a lot of people judge something in their mind before they ever hear it. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. That means that he is the ruler. He is the ruler over the atomic matter that's in the air. That's why science is so brilliant. That's why science can do the things they're doing and create these destructive powers. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. They're creating these powers of destruction that's going to destroy the earth. It's the mastermind of Satan coming from the tree of knowledge. Isn't that right? You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in science? Paul said it's science falsely so called. The word science means knowledge. Paul said it's falsely so called. It's not true knowledge. He spoke of the knowledge of God. He said, that's true science. That's true knowledge. God's knowledge. So then God gave the atoms. God gave the electric light. God gave everything we've got. You love Jesus? I wished I had time to prove that tonight. Somebody talk about the man that discovered electricity. I'd love to take time tonight and show you how God showed it to him and how he just run across it when God gave it to him. Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking after his children. So then Satan is the prince over the powers that's in the air. When Jesus was out on the little boat and he was asleep, and they said, Lord, we're going to perish because the storm come up. The waters begin to rage. Jesus rose up and he rebuked the storm. He said, peace, peace, as he spoke to the winds. He said, peace. And he looked down at the waters and he said, be still. Be still. And the Bible said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waters, they do obey him. My brother, he did not rebuke the works of God. Don't you know that Jesus was the fullness of God, that God's kingdom is not divided, that God did not rise up and rebuke God, and God did not divide his own efforts? The Bible said if a kingdom be divided, it can't stand. Jesus mastered the powers of Satan. He put it to silence. All of the wars, all of the troubles, all of the sickness, all of the afflictions, all of the oppressions, the wrecks, the turmoils. It's the work of Satan. You say, can you prove that? The Bible speaks of the millennium rest of God, that 1,000 years of reign. And the Bible says that all of the earth was at peace when Satan was bound for that 1,000 years. Said all of the earth was at peace. Nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Everything was at peace during the time that he was bound down there. You understand what I'm saying? There'll be a time of the binding when everything will be at peace because Satan is the troublemaker. When your neighbor rises up against you, when you have trouble, when you have confusion, the devil is the cause of every bit of it. The devil is causing every bit of it. But my brother, I want you to know tonight that God has power over Satan. And the church has power over Satan. You have power over Satan tonight. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Did you know that's how he afflicts your body? Because he hath control of the atomic matter. He hath control of the atomic matter, like scientists say, mind over matter. Mind over matter. But I want you to know that the true mind over matter is the mind of God that created matter. Satan can't create nothing. All he does is work with it and pervert it to get it out of course with his intellectual powers. But I want you to know those intellectual powers of darkness, they do take control. He's the prince of this world. He wrestled it out of the hands of Adam and he became the prince of this world. And because your body is the constitution of atomic particles, that means he has the power to afflict your body. He has the power to afflict your body because you're a composition of the dust. He is the prince of the powers of the air. He's over those powers. And he, along with the demon powers, having them under his control, he can afflict that body. But I want you to know, if you'll get full of the Holy Spirit, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, if you'll get full of the faith of Jesus Christ, if you'll submit that body to the Lord with fasting and prayer and look to God, God will give you power. And you'll be able to eradicate those diseases and evil from your body. You won't have to put up with those things, beloved friend, because you got power over him tonight. You've got power over him tonight. All you got to do is turn your faith in the direction of Calvary. Hallelujah. Withdraw from that old intellectual reasoning of yours. You know, the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. I wondered why God said, lean not to mine own understanding. I said, dear God, if I don't lean to my own understanding, what am I going to do? I said, that's all I got in this world is my understanding. He said, son, I want to use your brain. I want to use your brain. He said, Satan is trying to use your brain. He said, and I've given you a life, a spirit that uses your brain. He said, and there's three great lives, three great powers, three great spirits that's struggling to get control of your brain. He said, but I made that brain that you, as life, as a spirit of life, might use it for the benefit of your body in relating to the things of creation and the necessitated needs of life. I made you a spiritual life. I put that life in a human body so that that life could relate to the things around it. When there's a beautiful apple hanging on a tree, that life can look up and see that luscious apple and reach up and take it by the strength of that body and take a bite of it. God said, I made that life in the body for that. He said, and son, he said, and I made that life that I myself, as the great spirit of life, might feel that spirit and feel that life and feel that temple. That you might not just have temporal life, but that you might have life filled up and overflowing. Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. For I am the Prince of Life. God is the Spirit of Life. He wants you to have life tonight filled up and overflowing. God doesn't just want you to get by. But he said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. Did you know when God says, I have given you all things that pertain unto life, that covers a lot of territory? When God said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life, that means finance, that means health, that means strength, that means sanity, that means joy, that means jubilance of spirit. God said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Why then do we let the devil rob us of it? Why is it that we let our faith down? When Jesus stood on the little boat and he looked out and he rebuked the winds and the waters, then he turned to them, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And when he cast the devil out and they turned to him, he said, oh, perverse generation, faithless generation, how long will I suffer you? How long will I be with you? See, by those statements, it is a positive proof that he was trying to tell them that he wanted them to believe. He was trying to encourage them to believe. He was trying to tell them he wanted them to believe. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He tried to encourage them to believe, my brother. Why? Because we have power over all the powers of the enemy. But I want you to see this tonight. There are three great powers that's struggling. One of those powers is a human life. One of those powers is that God life from Christ. One of those powers is a satanic life, which is Lucifer. All three of those lives are struggling, trying to keep control of this human body and get control of this brain. All three of those lives. There is one life which has a right to that brain. That's a human life. Now let's look at it for just a minute. What is the human mind? The God mind and the satanic mind that is a life or a spirit. What are those three forms of life or mind? Man's mind is a mind of necessity. Now listen, it's a mind of necessity. It tells you that you need to wash your face. It tells you that you need to brush your teeth. It tells you that you need to lay down and rest at night. It tells you that you need to get up and go to work. It tells you that you need to perform your natural duties through life and be a neighbor. That is your natural mind. That is your natural spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. God put it there for that purpose. God meant it for it to be like that. But now look at the other life. What kind of life is God's life? God's life is that life that's concerned about the welfare of humanity. It's that life that's willing to fast, that life that's willing to pray, that life that says add virtue, add godliness, add patience, add temperance, add meekness, add brotherly love, add long-suffering. It's that life that's pure, that's virtuous, that's holy, that's righteous. It's that life that thinks godly, pure thoughts. Then what is that other life? That other mind? It's that mind that curses and drinks and carouses. That mind that has evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and murder and theft and baseness and corruption. That's the mind of Satan. That's the other mind. My brother, God means for your mind of necessity that tells you to go to work, to sleep, whatever. He means for that mind to be in the body. He means for that life to be in the body. He put it there. But he means for his life, God mind, to be the power that becomes interwoven with it. That it might be a super life, a great life. A life that will never perish. For your temporal life without God's eternal life, without his eternal spirit of power and existence, your life will soon vanish away into nothing. Solomon said, what is a man's life but like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away? But beloved friend, when God's spirit gets into your life, when God's spirit gets into your heart, when God's spirit gets into your mind, you don't perish, you don't vanish away. You blossom and you bloom and you have life and that more abundant, hallelujah, filled up and overflowing, Jesus said. But let Satan get in. What happened when God put Adam and Eve in the garden? Oh, one of these nights I want to preach on the covering of his glory. I hope I'll be able to preach on the covering of His glory right here one night and show you what really happened to man. What happened in the Garden of Eden? When God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and God put Eve in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have any worries. Satan wasn't around. They had a beautiful life. They had a beautiful life. And it wasn't until Eve partook from the tree of knowledge that they run into trouble. Did you know today, as long as you believe, you don't run into trouble? But brother, you start feeding from that warped up tree of knowledge and you're in problems. Did you know that? The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. And every time you get somebody full of knowledge, they always get puffed up. But get somebody with a heart full of love, a heart full of charity. And the Bible said charity edifieth. They'll become wiser and stronger all the time. See, they had God with them. They had the Spirit of God with them. But old brother, when she turned to that tree of knowledge and she began to eat of that forbidden fruit, when she began to partake of that forbidden fruit, there's some fruit trees in this world. Did you know that? There's some fruit trees in this world. And some of them are trees of life. Did you know that? And they're planted by the river of life. Come on now. I said they're planted by the river of life. When old brother John saw them trees of life, they were planted right by the river of life. And you know why they produce fruits of life? Because their roots went down into the river of life. And their roots picked up the water of life. Hallelujah. The Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Having your fruits unto holiness in the end thereof eternal life. Hallelujah. There's some trees of life around. All you got to do is get around and pick some of them fruits of holiness. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Get around and pick some of them fruits of holiness and you can live forever. You can live forever, but you lean to your own reasoning and your own understanding. And the first news you know, you're going to have ritualistics and you're going to have programs. And you're going to push God out of your life and you're going to push the Spirit out of the church. And you're not going to have any life in the church at all. And you're not going to have any trees of life in the church either. You're just going to have a head full of knowledge. And you're going to have somebody from seminary out there that's trying to tell you something that he don't know nothing about himself. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, you don't think anybody from seminary has got any sense? I got a man up here from seminary. He's got a lot of sense. One of the best preachers in the country. But I'll tell you what, when you get a man out of seminary, he better have the Holy Ghost. If you take a man out of seminary and don't give him the Holy Ghost and turn him loose in the pulpit, he's worse than a bull in a china shop. He'll do more damage. But brother, you get him full of the Holy Ghost and I'll tell you what, he can really help you. He can really help you. Hallelujah. Now, look at it. When Eve went over there and got a hold of the tree of knowledge, what happened to her? The first thing she done was got blood poison. I said the first thing she took was blood poison. Isn't that right? She swallowed that thing down into her system and she took blood poison. I'm glad that old brother Paul on the island over there, when that poison from that old viper bit him, it didn't give him blood poison. He just shook it off in the fire and kept on going. Hallelujah. The Bible said, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. And Paul knew that he had the Holy Spirit. And he just shook that thing off and kept on going. But Eve, she took blood poison. Turned around, it wasn't long before she gave the same thing to Adam. And both of them was excommunicated and put out of the garden. Is that right? The Lord said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, folks, I want to reason with you a minute. Somebody would say, well, that was them apples. Now, you know that apples don't grow on trees of knowledge. Where did you ever pull an apple from a tree of knowledge? Where did you ever see a tree of knowledge produce an apple? The Bible said it was a tree of knowledge. You know how that Adam and Eve could eat from that? Because they were both angelic and natural. They were made out of the dust of the earth so far as their body, but their spirit had never been exposed to natural things as far as worldly contamination. Therefore, their spirit was relative to God's great spirit. And they could feed off of spiritual things. in that tree of knowledge was a spiritual thing. And they got the wrong kind of information. And they got the wrong kind of understanding. And they got polluted in their mind. And when the thing happened, they were excommunicated from the garden. They were driven out. That's what I'm telling you tonight. That other mind that I spoke of. That satanic mind. What is it? It's a mind of corruption. It's a mind that's polluted. It's a mind that's abased. It's that ugly, ugly, filthy, abased. That mind of debauchery. That mind that drags you down in the gutters. I've seen it. I've been down on Skid Row and preached to men that were great lawyers, judges, great leaders, all kind of men that had been pulled down in the gutters. Great men of integrity. Great professional men. The devil had gotten a hold of them and polluted their minds. They had lost hope. They had lost courage. Been pulled down into the gutters of sin. I went down there and preached to them. The power of sin. The power of evil. That thing has interwoven itself with the minds of the children of this world. That evil power has interwoven itself with the minds of the children of this world. Listen to me, folks. The Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. Why is it that we can't understand that? That if the love of the world is in you, you know what the world is. You know what the world stands for. And the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, then God's love isn't in your heart. The love of the world. Do you love the world tonight? Do you love the world tonight? I say this again tonight. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to redeem it. Now listen, God so loved the world the way he made it when Adam and Eve was in the garden, when it was pure and holy, when there was no contamination. He loved it because it was beautiful. He made it to be inhabited. It was not overrun with sin and corruption. It did not have the accursed thing in it. But today, Satan is the prince of this world, my brother. Satan is the prince of this world. If you don't believe that Satan is the ruler of this world, you just hold on a little while. And you people that are real Christians, you just watch and see. If the devil don't oppress your life out of you, and the Bible said that you will be hated. Now listen. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake. Every one of you that's lifting up the name of Jesus, you're going to be hated. You're getting by right now. You know why you're getting by right now? Because God's making that last great sweep. God has suffered things like this club that our brother has here, Brother Bowles. And like the PTL club and like the 700 club and other clubs around the world. He suffered these to get hold in money, power, to help keep things alive and singing and talking about the name Jesus. But after a while, they're going to close in on them and they're going to smother them out. And when they do, everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ is going to be hated. Because the world knows that you are a prick in their side. You are a prick in their side. As long as they can keep you in this world to bring them healing and bring them deliverance and bring them the blessings of God, they'll receive you. But in the day of judgment, when you start preaching the word of God and they suddenly realize that they're having problems, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. They said back there in that Old Testament, they said, get that Ark of the Covenant out of here. Oh, they said, we want that Ark of the Covenant. Give us that Ark of the Covenant. And they got it. And the world took it. And the world worshipped it. And the world put it in their churches. And the world's done opposites to it. But I want you to know something. They don't know how to serve God's Word. They don't know how to honor God's word. You have to worship God in holiness, in the glory of God's spirit, according to his word. They don't know how to honor God's word. When those people finally got that covenant, it started working in reverse. Instead of getting healing, they got cancer. Instead of getting blessings, they began to get curses. Instead of getting the things of God, it began to backfire on them. You know what they done? They said, get that thing out of here. Get that thing out of here. Get that thing out of here. They said, let us go back to our worldly parties and our petting parties. And let us go back to our frolics. And let us go back to the things of the world. And get that thing called religion out of here. Get it out of here. It ain't working like we thought it would. You watch and see if Brother Pike's telling you right. They said, get it out of here. And brother, they got it out of there too. They got it out of there. Jesus said, I would that ye be hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. As long as them people didn't mess with God's word, hey, God let them by. As long as Nebuchadnezzar and them people down there in that kingdom didn't mess with God's vessels, God let them by. Isn't that right? But the day that they went over to the temple of God and they waxed bold and they took God's vessels and they began to drink out of God's vessels, God tore their kingdom down. And I want you to know today, since they started putting their hands on God's people, God's going to tear this old world down. John said, I looked in the cities of this world, I saw them crumble. I saw them crumble to the ground, he said. I saw the cities of this world, I saw their huge buildings crumble to the ground. God's going to tear this world down. A little stone came rolling out of Babylon, tearing down the kings of the world. And I'll tell you something, folks, that's why I'm over here in Jeffersonville, Indiana tonight. God said, go to Jeffersonville, Indiana, my son, for it's time for the little stone that was hewed out of the mountain to come rolling out down through Babylon and tear down the kingdoms. And Jeffersonville marks the end. I want you to go there and set a tent there. And when you set that tent there, after that, the judgments of God and the powers of God is going to begin to sweep this earth. That's a big statement for a little fella. You say, old Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I've made some big statements and they've come to pass. And brother, as sure as you're breathing your breath in this Jeffersonville meeting, you're going to see that I'm telling you right. Hallelujah. I feel God on the main line tonight. I feel God's presence here tonight. Hallelujah. That's why we need to get up and go for God, folks. That's why we need to get more of God's spirit. We don't need that spirit of Satan in our spirit. We don't need that corruption in our heart. We don't need the love of the world. We need to withdraw and be God's people. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's your strength tonight? Where is your strength tonight? Have you given your strength to Delilah? Have you given your strength to Delilah? Where is your strength tonight? Oh, I want you to stand with me tonight. We could go on and on. You know, you're beginning to get into the spirit and beginning to receive. But I'll tell you something tonight. We need strength from God, brother, sister. We need strength from God. God is doing something. He's moving. In this meeting, I tell you again in the name of the Lord, this is not just another meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It's not just another meeting. You know, Paul said, I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. For numbers of years, we've moved by revelation. We're here in Jeffersonville by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is not just another meeting. Folks, the end of the world is here. It is here. It is here. And I'll tell you what. If you've ever run for your life, you need to run for your life. I don't know what church you belong to. It's your business. I don't know what you're doing. That's your business. Every man is a sovereignty. God has so made him a sovereignty that he hath let him in his life and spirit do whatever he wants to. Because I do not have to answer for you, I have to answer for me. But everyone that hears this gospel under my voice, I have to appear at the judgment there to either justify them or to condemn them according to the words that I have spoken unto them. Paul said, I must present you to God, and I seek to do it without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And tonight, folks, you can do whatever you want to, but But I'm like Joshua of old when he said, "It's for me and my house we'll serve the Lord." I made up my mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to testify of the giants of this world and the powers of opposition. I'm not going to worry about the sicknesses and the problems of this world. I'm going to love Jesus. And I'm going to testify about the strength and the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. If you want to join in with me, you can do it. Now, you might be great in God. You might be a strong person in God. You might be a grown-up person in God. But then you might be as one of those babes I saw last night. You might just be a little babe in Christ. Now, if you're a little babe in Christ, then Brother Pike wants to help you and give you the sincere milk of the Word. He wants to give you the sincere milk of the Word because I want to help you if you're just a little babe in Christ. But if you're a grown-up person, I want you to take my hand. God said, "I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God." And God wants some people in the earth that can be a temple that'll hold up the kingdom of God in the earth, that others can lean upon and look to. Did you know that? God is looking for some pillars in this earth. Some that's got some spiritual strength that can stand up in the earth and hold up the kingdom of God to the people of the earth. And let them know that Christ is living. Isn't that right? He's looking for some pillars tonight. And he said, "He that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar." Don't you want to overcome tonight? We sing that little song, "I'll overcome, I'll overcome." All right? I appreciate your attention tonight. It was a little hard at the beginning, but the shell broke. You know it makes it a little hard? Because for the first few nights, you got a new congregation just about every night. Got some that you preached to the night before, but you got a new congregation that's continually turning over. And so then it makes it a little hard. You have to keep breaking the ice. But after a while, a night or two, and I'll kind of get through, and we'll get some that'll work with me, and we'll be up on the top of the hill, and we'll go coasting down the other side. Amen. You love Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up. We'll to play a little something on the musical instruments here. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus. You've been a good audience tonight. Brother Pike's not scolding you. You've been a good audience. I had three men that come in tonight that didn't have the right spirit and the attitude when they come in. They come in to spider our liberty, and I watched them to see what they're going to do. And they've done what I thought they would do. That's why I scolded them at the first of the service. The Bible said rebuke openly that others might see and fear. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Those people need some open rebuke. We need to stand for God's people. You know, you that are out there in the audience, you need to stand for God's people. That's the reason the world is doing God's people the way they're doing them today, because some of you don't have enough backbone to stand against those people that are arrogant and those people that are doing those evil things. You don't have to be haughty. You don't have to be mean. The Bible said the righteous is bold as a lion. The righteous is bold as a lion. Be bold as a lion. Be harmless as a dove. Be wise as a serpent. You can be gentle as a lamb. And you can still stand for Jesus, folks. You can still stand for Jesus. Praise God. I love you tonight. I appreciate you tonight. You're great people. Solomon said one time, "Who can stand before so great a people?" I ask the same question many times. I say, "Lord, who can stand before so great a people?" These are gods. These are gods. These are not just human beings. Christians are not just human beings. How many of you understand that Christians are not just human beings? They're not just human beings. You say, "Brother Pine, Christians are human beings just like everybody else." The Bible said, "Ye are gods." Ye are gods. Jesus himself said, "Ye are gods." Ye are not just human beings. Ye are gods. Human beings die.
Now listen, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, is that right? You Bible scholars that's listening, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if you are a man, that means you're going to have to die. But you that are children of God, the Bible said God heard the groaning of the prisoners. He looked down from heaven and he loosed those that were appointed unto death. And they have passed from death unto life, and they shall never come into condemnation. And there is no appointment from heaven against them that they must die. For they are not men, they are gods. It is appointed unto man that he must die, but it is not appointed unto gods to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. God has broke the appointment with death. Did you know there's preachers that think they're great preachers, that think they got great knowledge, that don't even know that, that don't even have enough understanding, that if you told them that, they'd get all out of sauce and upset and they couldn't bear with you because they don't understand that. God help them, because they don't understand. Maybe they're precious, maybe they're great, but they don't understand. Professing themselves to be wise, they won't listen. They don't learn. But brother, tonight, you've got something. You're in a different place from what you might think tonight. I ask the question again, did the Lord just make vain statements, or did he mean what he said? When he said, ye are gods, did he mean that ye are gods? Or was he just talking, making vain statements? Did he really mean that ye are gods? Did he really mean that ye are gods? And I said the other night, and I said this from night to night, does it take an animal to bring forth an animal? Does it take a human being to bring forth a human being? Does it take a God to bring forth a God? When a human being gives birth, does it bring a human being? When an animal gives birth, does it bring a human or an animal? A human being brings a human being, an animal brings an animal. But when a God gives birth, does it bring a God? The Bible said, ye are born of God. Ye are born of God. All of you are born of God. When you're born of God, does that mean that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Does a God give birth to a God, or does a God give birth to human beings? You say, well, Brother Pike, when God created Adam, he made a human being. When he created Adam. But the Bible doesn't say Adam was the beginning of God's creation so far as the birth. It said Jesus Christ was. He was the first begotten. Paul said, I've begotten you. See, there's a difference, my brother and sister. You're born to the Spirit. Adam and Eve was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Isn't that right? Adam and Eve was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. My brother, you're not in the presence of the Shekinah. My sister, you're not in the presence of the Shekinah. If you was in the presence, you could be enticed out from under the presence, just as Adam and Eve was by Satan. But you're born to the Shekinah. The kingdom of God's on the inside. You're born to the Shekinah glory of God. You've got it on the inside of you. Satan can't entice you out from under it. You're born of it. Glory to God. Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. You're born of it tonight. Oh, I wish we had time to preach to you. I wish we had time to preach to you. I want you to pray through this meeting. I want you to pray through this meeting. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. I know it's getting late. We're going to let you go. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Praise God. Now, I know some of you have to go a little earlier than others. But if I go by everybody that's got to go home at a certain time or to see a late show or whatever, or do whatever they've got to do, I never would preach a sermon. because everybody's got something they got to do at a certain time. I just have to let the ones go that have to go and the ones stay that'll stay and try to get you home at a reasonable time. And I've not been unreasonable. We've been getting through around 10 or 10:30. All right. So we're not going to be here like the churches, and we have to take just a little bit of time while we're here. Now tonight, I want to pray for the sick. Those that are sick tonight, I want to pray for you. We prayed for them from night to night, and God's been healing. I felt God heal. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I believe, and I want to pray for you. And if you believe tonight that you got power over the powers of the enemy, then I want to pray for you tonight. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. But before we pray for the sick, while they're playing on the organ here, I want you, if you're lost and undone without God tonight, I want you to come stand with us. If you need prayer tonight, if you're bound with demon spirits, if you're troubled in spirit tonight and you need help, I want you to come stand down here tonight. And God's going to loose you. God's going to break the demon power off of you. God's going to turn you loose. You know, I thank God for one thing. God has helped me to cast out many devils in my life. God has helped me to cast out many devils in my life. I've seen many people that was possessed with devils. But God has helped me to cast out many devils in my life. And we've got many people that follow our ministry that's whole and healthy and godly and pure and strong, that's free from devils. Hallelujah. Because they believe. I want you to come down here and stand tonight. If you need something from God, if you want to break the spirit off of you, if you want to get loose, if you're lost and undone without God, if you need prayer tonight, if you want my prayer, then come and stand. The minister has power to bless. He has power to curse. He can bless you or he can curse you. The Bible said, will you not be afraid, seeing that he is the minister of God? He is set there, the Bible said, to execute judgment upon them to do good, that do evil. But he is set there to bless them that do good. And tonight he's able to bless, he's able to curse. A minister had the power to come to a city and shake off the dust of his feet as a witness and a testimony against the city. God sent me to a place out in the west not too long ago. And I went to this place and the man's got one of the biggest places. One of the biggest places in the world, the minister. The Lord spoke to my heart. I shook the dust off. Before we got on the plane, I told my wife, I said, I'm shaking off the dust. Before we got all on the plane, before we got on the plane to leave, the papers carried it, said leprosy has struck. You love Jesus? He sent me to another place over in Chicago. This man had a huge cathedral, a huge place, with about two or three huge balconies, a huge mammoth of a place, thousands of people. God said, son, you see this place? Filling it up with thousands of people. He said, I'm going to close this place up. So that's why I sent you here. I went my way and done what God told me. Betty and I come back through. I said, Betty, I'm going to make a telephone call. I want to see what God done to the place. He said he was going to do away with it. I believe what he said. I called. They said they've condemned the place. They're tearing it down. They're doing away with it. He hath the power to bless. He hath the power to curse. God can bless you. God can curse you. God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can do something for you. It's up to you tonight. We're not going to tarry but a few minutes. If you want to come, you can come. If you want to come, you can come.
No millions have come, there is still room for me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, there's room.
If you don't need prayer,
at the cross,
if you don't need healing, I'm glad. I'm glad. Brother Pike's glad. If you're in that kind of condition from night to night, we've had people to come. Numbers of people have come and we prayed for them. And if in this congregation tonight, if the people don't need prayer and they don't need healing, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad. But for these two people that come, I want to pray for them tonight.
So
All right. If you want to come, we're going to tarry just a minute. There's some more coming here. Brother Pike, don't want to press you. I don't want to press you. I want you to do whatever you want to do. I just want to offer my service and my prayers. And if you want prayer, I want to pray for you. I try not to hurry because some people are slow to thought. They kind of have to make a decision and make up their mind, and I try to give them plenty of time. Most of the time when you call for people to come to the altar or to be prayed for, they're slow getting started. Unless you use gimmicks, and I don't use gimmicks. A lot of people have gimmicks that they use. I could say a few things and just about every one of you would be up here. But we don't use gimmicks because I want to reach those that are lost. Praise God. All right. While these are standing here, and I want some of you saints of God to step out here behind them. And I want you to come and pray with me tonight. And we're going to pray for these.
How I love Jesus, because you first loved me.
Let's just lift our hands up together, you that are in the audience. Let's lift our hands up together.
So wonderful.
If you love Jesus tonight, I want you to lift your hands up. I believe you do. I had three people tonight that came up in a car outside, and they sent for us to come out and pray. They said that they wanted prayer. One of them had cancer. A couple of them had heart trouble. And they asked us if we'd come and pray for them, and we did. I went outside and prayed for them because they were feeble. And they didn't feel like they could come in tonight, but they said they wanted to get to feeling better so they could come and be in the meeting. And they will feel better. I felt God as we prayed for them. But I want to pray for these tonight. And if there's any of these that came here that wants me to lay hands on them, I'd like for them to come up on the ramp tonight. Just come up on the ramp, hold to the rail there, and come up if you'd like to. I'll pray for you here and lay hands on you. The others that would like to be prayed for otherwise can just come and stand. You know, God is so good. God is moving by His Spirit. And He's doing some wonderful things. Come on up, sister. He's doing some wonderful things. And for them that are willing to believe, God is moving. You know, today I was praying. And every day, practically, that I prayed in Jeffersonville, I have felt an unusual binding in Jeffersonville. It seemed to be different from anything that I have ever felt. We have been through Chicago and New Orleans and across the United States, South America, the islands, Europe, Israel, different places. But I have never encountered a place like Jeffersonville, Indiana. There seems to be an intermingled spirit, a spirit that's all crossed up. That when I'm praying, I feel the Spirit come down. And it seems to be all crossed up. That it's a spirit that seems to have people all crossed up every way. That they can't seem to get their bearings. And it's an oppressing weight that acts like it wants to bind and don't want to turn loose. And even though from night to night we've been able to get the audience loose, yet it seems like it's way over in the sermon before I'm really able to break them loose. And it makes it very difficult to be able to minister to them the way that I'd like to minister to them. But God is breaking it. He let me know today. He spoke to my heart today that if I'd keep praying, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost when I say it.
He's telling me again, standing right here, Brother Bill, I heard him again say, if you will keep praying, I'll break the spirit off of Jeffersonville, Indiana, and I'll give freedom to these people in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And brother, by the help of God, I intend to pray. I intend to pray until God gives liberty to these people in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Spirit, Brother Gary. Glory to God, I feel it. The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I feel that great, wonderful liberty of God. I feel some people out there that's standing with me too. I feel your faith and I feel your spirit. I believe that you believe what I'm saying tonight, and I feel you standing with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, tonight in the name of your Son Jesus, I pray for this my sister in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, heal this body. Heal this person tonight. Oh God, I feel you doing it tonight. Father, strengthen this body. Supply the needs of this body tonight. Supply the needs of the spirit tonight. Make a new creature out of this person. Oh God, I believe that you're going to do it. I feel you doing it right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, I feel God doing it. How do you feel that tonight? I feel God doing it tonight. I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. Can you worship God tonight? The Bible said rejoice with them that rejoice. If you've got victory tonight, you believe the Bible. And the Bible said rejoice with them that rejoice.
And let God have
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you rejoice tonight? Can you rejoice tonight? Hallelujah. Can you rejoice with them that rejoice tonight? Glory to God. Did you know some of you ain't got enough joy to rejoice? You need to be up here and I need to be praying for you. You ain't got enough joy yourself to rejoice. Some of you are like those virgins I know. You've been lost all of your all. Your light's gone out. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. My brother, you need to get the joy of the Lord back. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Can you clap your hands tonight? Can you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. Let's praise God tonight. God is the Spirit and God inhabits the praise of His people. If you want the Spirit of God to come down, God inhabits the praise of His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on over here, sister. Hallelujah.
Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. And since the hand of Jesus touched me,
praise God, you love Jesus. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, this precious sister that's trusting you for her healing. Dear God, she said she believes in you. I believe you're healing her right now. I feel you healing her right now. Father, I feel the power of God. I feel you healing her right now. Dear God, we speak healing to this body in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, heal.
He touched me.
I feel you here.
And oh, the joy.
Hallelujah. I feel God healing. I feel God healing. I can feel unbelief. I can feel unbelief, but I still feel God healing. You know, I praise God for that.
I know.
I can can feel unbelief here. But I still feel God breaking through in spite of the unbelief. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I was shackled by a heavy burden. Meek and bold of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus.
Now we've got a case here of arthritis. And this sister wants prayer. And she says she believes God. I remember a man that came to our meeting that had arthritis. It was stoved up. He was completely just stoved up and crippled. But we prayed for him and God completely healed him. Healed him completely. He went back on his job and went to work and came to our tent meeting on his own. Just to testify to the deliverance of God. And I believe God will heal here in Jeffersonville, Indiana if we'll pray. I believe God will heal. I believe he'll help you. He'll help me and he'll help the people of Jeffersonville, Indiana. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, you said these signs shall follow them that believe. And I believe this sister believes tonight. I want you to heal her in Jesus' name tonight. I believe that we've got believers here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, Father, under this tent tonight. And I believe that you're going to heal from this faith tonight. In Jesus' name tonight, I pray for this sister. And I ask you to heal her body, Father. Father, move all of this. I feel you doing it right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Father, increase faith, oh God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I believe you touch God tonight, sister. I feel some people touching God tonight. And I believe faith is going to rise. I believe in these meetings that faith is going to rise. I've been in meetings when faith, the tide of faith would grow high. You know, Jesus, one time he went into a place and the Bible said there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. He was anointed of God to do it, but he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. But the Bible said he did lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And I believe we can at least here in Jeffersonville lay our hands on a few sick people and heal them, don't you? I believe we can at least do that. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you'll heal this sister. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll heal this sister. May the great Spirit of God do something for Sister Gracie tonight. Touch her in the name of Jesus for your glory. Hallelujah.
Take your burden to the Lord.
Brother, I prayed for your request last night. I took your request to God in prayer. And I sincerely prayed to God, and I believe God's going to answer. You know, this brother has a problem.
Almost sinking in despair.
The devil has torn his home up. What the circumstances is, I don't know. But I went to God about it last night and I prayed. And I want you to pray. I have prayed and the Lord knows this is the truth. For numbers of cases where men and women have been separated for years. Wouldn't even as much as speak to each other as far as having fellowship. And I've had maybe one of them to come to me and tell me that they would like to have the home restored. And I prayed and promised them in the name of the Lord that God would restore it. And within a matter of weeks, God would restore the home. We've had people that's been lost off that they've not heard from in years. And they thought the loved ones was dead. And we prayed and promised them that they would hear. And immediately they would hear after all those many years. And even the people would turn up in our congregation. The song said, oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Father, I prayed for this, my brother. I prayed for his home, and I believe you're going to give me a victory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, I believe you're going to do something. There's nothing too hard for God. In Jesus' name tonight, I want you to bless him. I want you to strengthen him. I want you to be with him, oh God.
Leave it there.
Give him the power of consolation.
Oh,
Holy Spirit, thou art a comforter.
Take your
be with him, Lord, and restore that which the canker worm has gotten. For years, the locust and the caterpillar has consumed.
Trust
restore it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Take your troubles to the Lord and leave them there.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for this sister tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you would heal this body, that you would deliver
for my soul.
In Jesus' name tonight.
Needing a friend,
Satan,
to help me indeed.
I adjure thee by God to take your hands off of this woman.
Where could I go but to the Lord?
I adjure thee by God. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I felt God do something for you then, sister. Praise God. You love Jesus. She said she felt God do something for her too. I felt, when I went to pray for her, I felt a devil of oppression that's been really oppressing her. God bless you, my brother. God bless your heart.
I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above,
I want you to believe with me tonight. Our brother has a request in the behalf of another person. And we're going to pray for him tonight. I appreciate his concern, don't you? Let's pray together. Father,
hallelujah.
In the name of the Son of God tonight, it's not the power of might, but it's by your Spirit, Father. And I ask you to hear from heaven now. Father, hear from heaven. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Father, you hear
from
heaven right now. Father, I feel his faith touching you right now. Hallelujah.
Comfort
I feel you answering his request right now. Heal, Father.
Yet
heal those eyes.
Face the chilling hand of death.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. I believe God granted our request tonight. Hallelujah. You know, I feel God moving tonight. I just wonder what God would do here if we would really let go. If we would really let go tonight. If we would really let go tonight. Hallelujah.
Where could I go?
You know,
to the Lord.
I thank God for one thing.
Living
in my heart and in my life and in my spirit.
Hardly a
I don't feel as much as a shadow of a pen between me and God. I don't feel one hindrance. I don't feel one oppression. I don't feel one opposition. That stands between me and God in my faith tonight. My heart, my mind, my spirit is perfectly coordinated with God and clean before Christ tonight because of the atonement of His Son and my faith and confidence in Him. And I wonder tonight what God would do if we just join together and pray. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you want to feel that great, wonderful feeling of cleanliness and rest and peace? Oh, what peace. What peace. All the paths of God are peace. He's the great Prince of Peace. What peace there is tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. I want you to lift your hands up. And I want to pray for you in the audience tonight. There's some great people here. There's been great people here in this audience. They've come from time to time. And they've come to this meeting. And there's some great people. And I know we've had some skeptics. I know we've had some troublemakers. I realize that. But you know what?
Well, I'm so
God will bring those troublemakers to a quick end.
And so weary.
He'll do away with them.
must go alone.
But you that love Jesus, He'll magnify you and He'll bless you and He'll lift you up. My brother, sister, He'll do things for you like you never dreamed. He'll do things like you've never dreamed of for you. He's got things in store for you. The Bible said, I hath never seen. Out of all the things you've seen in this world that's glorious and glamorous, the Bible said, I hath not seen. Out of all the things you've ever heard of music or whatever, the Bible said, ear hath never heard. The things that God hath in store for them that love Him. But He does tell us that we can have it by revelation. For He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit.
No sadness,
it is abundantly and above all
sorrow,
that you're able to learn in college,
no trouble,
learn in school, able to learn. Abundantly and above all, you're able to think or learn. But He hath revealed it unto babes such as will learn from God in the Spirit. He's made it revelation. Let's lift our hands up and love Him. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The thing the church needs tonight is the spirit of revelation. Let's pray that God will grant the spirit of revelation to the church. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to give us revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I really believe God's going to give us revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're praying, I want to pray with you tonight. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's one person that's lost and undone without Christ tonight, I want you to examine their heart tonight. And Father, if you can find faith tonight, I want you to save that person. I want you to reach out tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. And I want you to save that person tonight. I want you to reach out with your great, wonderful hand of deliverance tonight. And I want you to deliver, Father. I want you to heal tonight. If there is afflictions in this audience tonight, I want you to heal, Father, and deliver from afflictions tonight. Father, if there be any that's bound with evil spirits tonight, I want you to break the bondage and powers of those evil spirits. And I want you to drive the evil powers back. And drive the powers of darkness back. And let these people begin to feel freedom. And let them begin to rejoice. And let them begin to be happy. And when they awake in the morning, Father, I want them to feel a freshness. I want them to feel a feeling. I want them to feel a sureness. I want them to feel a confidence. I want them to feel a joy, Father, that they've never felt before. Oh, dear God, in the name of Jesus, I want you to move through the valley of Jeffersonville,
yes,
Indiana, my Father. And I want you to break the powers of evil, Father. And drive back the powers of darkness,
oh,
God.
Yes.
And I want you to heal afflictions. And I want you to heal diseases. And I want you to drive out the corruption, Father. And bring a revival to this city, Father. And throughout this area. May the Spirit of God go into the houses at night. And trouble them that are asleep in the bed, oh God. May the angels of God come into this valley. And walk this valley, oh my. Mighty God of heaven, until people be troubled, oh God, in their sleep, until they call upon the name of the Lord. May the great Spirit of God fall over this valley. I'm asking you to do it in the name of Jesus. Heal tonight, deliver tonight, forgive tonight. Bless and anoint these grounds and make them holy. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen tonight? Can you lift your hands up and love Him?
No
Can you lift your hands up and love
no
Him tonight? Hallelujah.
There will be peace.